If you would like to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, as we've been reading through the book of Matthew. This was part of the reading last week. Matthew chapter 6 there in verse 19. Let's begin reading in verse 19. And here Jesus is speaking on the mountain there near the Sea of Galilee. And amongst this sermon that he's delivering, he says in verse 19, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." As Jesus is teaching here on the mountainside, here on the shore of Galilee, and the first of that we have of his teachings that he presented throughout the region of Galilee, we see that he instructs the Jews on the importance of living a life in focus, a life with a purpose, a life with direction. You know, you look at so many in the world today, and that's one thing with being on social media, and you just kind of see how a lot of the younger generations are just kind of floating along. They don't know what to do or how to handle certain things. They don't really know where they need to go to accomplish things, and they have very little focus in their life. And when you look at the Jews, they had a life of focus, but it was focused on themselves, on their own powers, and you know, looking at the Jewish nation and focused on, you know, making sure that they reached the goals that they had, and their focus was not where it needed to be, which is really kind of the history of the Jewish people. Jesus did not expect his disciples to wander around aimlessly, to drift with all the passing things of this world, but to live a life with focus, with determination. We need to make sure, we need to take care as to what we are focused on. Understand this, we all have something as our primary focus. We all have something that is a little bit more important than everything else. And we need to make sure that we're not focused on the wrong things. And that we're not focused, or that our focus is so lax that we're easily distracted by the things that go on. Because as we look at this, and again, we can look and see that Jesus said the eye is the lamp of the body. So that if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. You know, this is the focus. And we either have this focus that is light, or if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? We have two options. Let's be honest. There's two options for us to look at. And our focus is either on God, heaven, or it's not. And we need to understand that our focus, as we see here in Matthew chapter 6, our focus affects us eternally. You go back and look in Matthew 6, there in verse 19, and Jesus talks about, do not store for yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus says there's two different places where you can store treasure. You can store up treasure here in this earthly realm where you build up this massive fortune, or you gather together all of the things that are of greatest importance to you, and you can have them here, and then it's gone. He and I were talking last week, and he was like, I think I want to see about investing when I get a little bit older. And he's like, I've heard about this Bitcoin. And so I was kind of looking at that, and I told him today, I was like, all right, well, here's the deal. If you had invested $100 in Bitcoin back in November, you'd have $50 now. It's halved. And that's the thing. You know, the article I was reading is talking about Elon Musk had lost like $25 billion. Now, that's like me losing $25, but still, that's a lot of money. And you know, you look at all of it can be gone in a matter of moments. All the things that you do to try to protect everything, nothing in this world is forever. And so Jesus talks about, you know, don't store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, on earth, where it can be lost, but to put all of your faith in God, put your trust, put your heart in serving the Lord. We've talked about this in Luke chapter 12, in that the parable of the land of a rich man. And if you look there in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus said, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does life consist of his possessions. Even when we're blessed with a great amount, our life is not to be caught up in those possessions. And he goes on and talks about the farmer who had a bumper crop, and he says, look at all these crops I've got, I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns, and there I'm going to store my goods, and I'm going to have all that I need, and I can say to my soul, take rest. Eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord said, tonight, your soul is required of you. You fool, this very night, then whose will all these things be? And so when we put all of our faith and trust in the things of this world, it's not going to last. And even if it lasts our entire life, whose is it once we die? You know, we might put all of our life into gathering together all of this, and you can see that with David and Solomon. I mean, you look at the work that David and Solomon did. David finally conquers Jerusalem. It's hard for me, when I first realized this, to realize that during all those years of the judges, Jerusalem's still not part of them. And throughout all the kingship of Saul, Jerusalem is still not really a part of Israel. And David finally, he conquers Jerusalem, makes it the capital, and great wealth begins to amass. And then Solomon comes in, and through all the work that David had done and all the fighting and conquering that David had accomplished, Solomon comes in and he makes some more good business deals through marriages. And so Jerusalem is just the wealthiest that has ever been. In fact, it's stated during the days of Solomon that the wealth was so great that if you had silver, it was as nothing. And then Rehoboam comes in, and what does he do? He destroys the national economy. He sends 10 out of 12 tribes packing, and Jerusalem begins its downfall. All that work that David and Solomon had done, and in one generation, just destroyed. And that's the thing, you know, when we put all of our faith in the things of this world and our focus on these things, moth and rust will destroy, our descendants will abuse. But if we put these things in God, in heaven, as Jesus said, store up for yourselves riches in heaven, treasures in heaven, where nothing can break in, nothing can remove those things. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to Timothy in the latter part of that first letter where he's instructing him in how to deal with those who are blessed with financial wealth. He says, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. The thing is, we need to be looking at our life and asking us, where is our focus? And if you want to know where your focus is, what do you consider the most important? What do you give the most time, the most attention to? What do you give the majority of your finances to? These are the things that we need to think about. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it really just comes down to a matter of priorities. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later in the lesson. You see, where our treasures lie indicate upon what we are truly focused on. And again, go back in 1 Timothy chapter 6, there in verse 17, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. And instruct them to do good with their riches, to be generous and ready to share, storing up this treasure of a good foundation for the future. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing. The Scriptures is never condemning those who are blessed. I mean, you look at Abraham. He was a very wealthy individual. His son Isaac just took that wealth and increased it. Jacob was a very wealthy man through all of his efforts and made Laban a wealthy man as well. But it's what we do with the blessings that God has given us, and whether or not we put our primary focus on amassing a wealth or taking the blessings that God has given us and using it in a right way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, he says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And see, that's the thing. When we think about our focus will affect us in eternity. It will settle where we will end up. And again, there's only two choices. We're either having a focus that's leading us to heaven, or our focus is leading us away from heaven. But not only does it affect us in eternity, but our focus, it affects us in the present. Going back to Matthew chapter 6, there in verse 22, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Jesus taught that the eye is the lamp of the body. You probably heard the eyes are the windows to the soul. And you know, by looking at someone in the eyes, you can kind of get a sense of their character, a sense of their truth and such. But you know, it's through what we see that the majority of what goes into our heart. It's through what we see. The things that we view, the things that we read, this is the result. You know, if we're to be a body that is full of light, then it's a result of focusing, as we noted in the lesson this morning in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, focusing on things that are good, things that are true and honorable, of good repute, that we meditate on these things. We dwell on these things. But if our focus is out of whack, and, you know, mom has probably talked about having to get a shot in her eye. She has the macular degeneration. Her sister has that as well. And Anna's mother just recently had to start taking these shots. And you know, your eyesight is going bad, and they give you these shots. And my aunt, she writes a lot. And so I always like reading whatever she writes on Facebook and everything. And so I'm sitting there reading, and she'll talk about how, you know, eventually her eyesight will start to clear after she gets that shot. And that's the thing. If we are focused on the things of this world, our eyesight becomes cloudy and muddy, and we just really don't see things clearly. Our focus is out of whack. It's not on the proper things. And when that's the case, then our heart becomes corrupted. And if our heart becomes corrupted, then our whole life is corrupted. The wise man wrote in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, he said, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Again, you know, Jesus taught, it's not what we eat that defiles. When they were like, hey, your disciples aren't washing their hands. He's like, hey, it's not what goes through the mouth that defiles you. It's what's coming out of the mouth. What's coming out of the mouth is coming from the heart. And our heart is corrupted by what we perceive, by what we take in, by what we consume visually. And Jesus says, once our focus is darkened, then how great is the darkness? And so when we look at the focus that we have, not only does it affect us in eternity, it affects us right in the here and now. We don't see things the way that we should if we're not letting the light of the gospel shine through. Not only does it affect us in the present, but it affects our relationship with God. Going further there, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, he says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Other translations read there, God and mammon. The idea there is, you know, you can't put all of your hopes and dreams and amassing the things of this world and still be a servant of God. Now, that's not to say that God might not bless you with wealth and such, but that can't be your goal. That can't be your focus. If your focus is always in gaining more, then your relationship with God is going to suffer. It's just like, I listened to a podcast by Chris Emerson. He preaches down in Texas and called it Sell Still More. And in one of the podcasts that I listened to is referring to a story that a lady, he was holding a meeting in an area there around Dallas, and he was staying with a family, and the lady's like, I'd like to tell you a story. And in this story, she's like, she started out, you know, I worked for this lady who was very wealthy. She was a successful businesswoman, owned several restaurants and other things, and this lady was the accountant for her, and so they became friends, and so this lady, sitting down with her accountant, was just kind of talking with her, and knowing that her accountant was a Christian, she felt comfortable talking to her. She's like, you know, I just realized, you know, there's some things I need to do, and the lady started saying, you know, she was going to kind of step back from the business and kind of focus herself on other things, and she was going to spend more time with her grandkids and everything, and she was going to, she recognizes that she needed to find God, to find the Lord. And, you know, kind of goes through all this, and she's making preparations for that. She's getting prepared to turn the business over to her son, and she's built a house closer to where her grandchildren live so she can spend time with her grandkids. And then this lady was sitting in a business meeting, a board meeting with her son and a couple of other individuals that were connected to the business. And all these plans to get a life with a better focus. And the son turned to her and asked her a question, and she didn't answer. And she had died of a brain aneurysm right there in the midst of that meeting as she was preparing to make this life with a greater focus. And that's the thing. We get so focused on so many things that we fail to realize the things that we should be doing right now. And we should have a greater focus on God. You cannot serve God and wealth, Jesus said. That wealth, the things of this world, you can't let that be a part of you. You look at the church in Thessalonica, and we can see that the Christians there in Thessalonica, they made a choice. They made a choice to turn from everything they had ever known and to serve God. And Paul says of them, when he heard the report about the church in Thessalonica, he says, they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we have with you and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And so we need to constantly be looking into our life and asking ourselves, what is my focus? Is my focus giving me a stronger relationship with God? If it's not, then our focus is on the wrong thing. If we're not growing closer to God, then we can know that we're not following the path that we should. Our priorities are not where they should be. God expects complete and total devotion to Him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, there in verse 37, He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. Now, this is not the commandment I was talking about this morning, but it's close. The one I'm talking about this morning is one that Jesus says, it's His commandment that He gives. That might clue you in a little bit. But we need to make sure that we are giving God our everything. That we love God with everything we have. That we, provide every moment of our life is focused in serving Him in one way or another. And if our focus is turned from God to anything else, then we cannot serve God acceptably. You know, I mentioned earlier about David and Solomon, how they built up the wealth of Jerusalem, and Solomon built up this wealth a little bit through marriages. And you know, David, when he was leaving, he told his son Solomon, he's like, look, serve the Lord. Stay focused on God. And it seems like Solomon had a pretty solid focus for a period of time. He built the temple. He dedicated the temple. But then he started building his house and houses for his wives. And eventually started building temples for the gods that his wives served. We read in 1 Kings chapter 11 there in verse 4, it says, when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. Verse 9, now the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Now, I think there's a happy ending to the story of Solomon. The book of Ecclesiastes, to me, in my studies, it has to have been written towards the very end of Solomon's life. Because when you do the math on the building projects that he describes in the book of Ecclesiastes, and that is described the periods of time that it takes, it has to be near the end of his life. And he writes about the folly of this life and all the vanity that it is of striving after the wind. And he says, I sought out all this, and his focus was on everything but God. He says it's just all vanity, it's just striving after the wind. But you look at the very end of the book of Ecclesiastes, and you see that he says the one focus that matters, the one thing that matters is to fear God and to keep His commandments. I think Solomon realized at the end of his life that the focus has to be on God. And he had to get that back where it needed to be. We need to understand that our focus reflects our faith and our priorities. Go back with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 6, there in verse 25. Jesus says, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, and they do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What we focus on now, our priority, our the priority. One of the mistakes we make is we make a list of our priorities. The thing is, we need to have one thing that is our priority. Everything else just kind of falls into the cracks. It's not, okay, this is my top priority. It is my priority. And if our priority is serving God, then everything else is going to happen out just fine. Everything else is going to work out the way that it should be. Jesus says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And you look at, this is the concern that a lot of people have is, you know, eating the right thing and wearing the right clothes, and you know, are people going to laugh at me because of what I'm wearing? And let me tell you, yeah, they're going to. Somebody, I don't care what you're wearing, somebody's going to laugh at you in every situation. But we worry so much about these different things, and God says, Jesus says, life is more than that. There's something of much greater importance than what you're focusing on. God has repeatedly proven that He will take care of His own. You look at nature, look around you, and you see that God has provided for His creation. And He'll provide for you. You know, my dad preached the entirety of my life. He started preaching full-time in Pekin, Illinois, where I was born, and preached until last year here. We were never wealthy. Never. He always preached for smaller congregations. We never had all the cool things that a lot of my friends in school had, but I never went hungry and I've never been naked because I didn't have any clothes to put on. God is taking care of us in every situation. We've been in areas and times where it's like, okay, how's this going to work out? And God's always taking care of us. And you know, in my 26 years of preaching, I've always generally preached for smaller congregations. It's been the same situation. God has always taken care of us. I might look and go, I don't know how we're going to make it this month. And then somehow, some way, God took care of us. And that's the way that it is. We need to put our trust, our faith in God. As Jesus says, who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? All worry does is rob you of time. You waste time worrying. You waste time by letting the anxiety take control. When I was in high school at Muscle Shoals, we were studying genetics and studying about the dominative and the dominant and the recessive genes. And as we were studying, one of the really easy ones to spot, it was hair. And that was one of the ones that they brought out, and they were like, okay, if your mother's dad is bald, it's a dominant gene, and more than likely you're going to be bald. I'm like, yeah, daddy black. He's bald. I'm going to be bald. And that was it. I'm going to be bald. And I dealt with it. And I've never really thought twice about it. I reached a point where there was a lot less up here and a big gap back here. And then I was like, okay, it's time to just start shaving. But a friend of mine in school, he's in the same boat. He's like, I'm going to lose my hair. I don't want to lose my hair. I don't want to lose my hair. I want to keep my hair. It's all about my hair. And I'm like, you know, what good is that going to do? I've seen people spend thousands and thousands of dollars to keep hair on the top of their head. What good does it do? What does it accomplish? What good could have been accomplished in other ways? Why worry about all these things? God will give you what you need. He will provide for you one way or another. If not in this life, He will provide for you in the life to come. Again, there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32, He says, the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, but your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Therefore, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray, He says, when you're praying, then verse 7, when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. And when I read this, I can't help but think of Elijah and the prophets of Baal, the priest of Baal there, and they're screaming and yelling and cutting themselves, and Elijah's like, scream a little louder. Dance a little bit more. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's going on a journey. You need to scream a little bit louder. And that's what the Gentiles were doing. And Jesus says in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 6, so do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. That's not to say that we don't have to, that we shouldn't express our desires, but when you find that you don't really know what to say, God knows. God understands. He's watching. He's caring for us. And what we focus on now reflects really our priorities. That's why Jesus said, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Those are the things that need to be your focus. When you look in Acts chapter 2, there, as the church is established, we see a group of individuals that are very focused. Acts chapter 2, there in verse 42, we see that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were devoted to one another. They were devoted to the gospel. That was their primary focus. And you go further in verse 46, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Their focus was on God and helping one another stay focused on God, on this wonderful salvation that had been provided to them. When you look in Ephesians chapter 4 there, the Apostle Paul uses the body to describe the local church. And the idea there in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 16, he says, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. But see, here's the problem. If all of the members of the local church are not focused on God, then the local church is not going to grow to its full potential. And that's the thing, you know, in preaching, a lot of times you're like, how do we build an evangelistic program? We want to bring more people to Christ. Here's the answer. Every one of us grows stronger and have our focus more on God, evangelism happens naturally. It's exactly what you find there in Acts chapter 2. They were focused on God, they were focused on serving God, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And I've seen it happen in congregations that when the congregation is willing to put in the efforts and they're willing to grow as they should, the congregation ends up growing as a result of that, spiritually and numerically. Because the more you are focused on God, the more you're going to talk about Him. The more you're focused on God and focused on eternity, the more you're going to want to talk to your friends and neighbors and relatives about that. And the more love you're going to show, the more compassion you're going to have for them, and the greater effect you're going to have in preaching and teaching the Word of God to them. Jesus says we are to seek His righteousness first. The Apostle Paul recognized the importance of the gospel. He says it's the power of God to salvation. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is the power of God for salvation. It is only through the precious gospel of Jesus Christ that the righteousness of God is revealed. Why would we want our focus on anything else? What can anything in this world provide for us? My good buddy Bobby Woodruff used to say, you know, 100 years from now, none of this is going to matter. When you think about the majority of mankind who has lived, nobody knows who won the Olympics in running 100 years ago. Anybody know? Nobody cares. Even some of the major events after 100 years, nobody knows. Nobody cares. It didn't matter in the greater scheme of things. But serving the Lord, well, that matters throughout all eternity. What we accomplish in this world is great and wonderful, and I'm not saying we shouldn't try. You know, God, through Paul, told Timothy, He says, those who are blessed with riches, use those to do good works. Don't trust in your riches. Trust in God and use that to do even more. But in all these things, whatever blessings God gives us, we need to make sure that our focus is on God and that we use that in our service to God. And so the question for you this evening, and the thing that you need to consider as you continue reading in the book of Matthew, looking in Matthew chapter 8 and, chapter is it 9 and 10 this week? Or 8 and 9? 9 and 10, I believe. And as you're reading through, is, you know, looking at Jesus had that singular focus throughout the entirety of His life. From the time He was a child, remember He's there in the temple, and He says, I must be about My Father's business. All the way through to the end, He's praying to God, you know, let this cup pass from Me, yet not My will, but Your will be done. He knew exactly what He was doing because everything was according to the will of God. That laser focus, and we need to have that laser focus on serving God. And not get caught up in the things of this world. Tomorrow has enough for us to deal with. Let's work on serving God today. And so each day this week, I want to encourage you to give a greater focus in serving God. And you can do that by being more mindful of God, as we talked about this morning in our lesson, and devoting more time to focused reading and meditating on God and His Word and talking to Him. And that, it will only help you in increasing your focus. And having a focus that is placed upon heaven. This is the attitude, the mindset that we all need to have, and I want to encourage each and every one of you. And so, if you need to be restored to service to God, perhaps your focus has been taken away from the Lord, you've allowed yourself to focus more on the things of this world, then why not surrender yourself once again to Him as we stand and as we sing.